Back on Bears Huddle, it's that time on Wednesday for our view from the moon. TSNChicago.com Bears insider John Moon Mullen joins us here in studio. Moon, let's first talk about a football game of sorts you went to on the lakefront last Saturday. A little bit different, too. The All Blacks from New Zealand came in, packed the house, too. What was that entertainment factor like for you?
You know, it was really fun, guys. I mean, it's a different game, literally and figuratively, and it's also fun when you see something, whether it's a music form that's not always your favorite, when you see something done at the highest level, it was fun. I didn't know the rules or anything else, but these guys in the black with the orange shoes, they're like really good. And they just kept running up and down the field. And you kept thinking, well, gee, but could some of these guys play special teams or whatever? So,
well, you know it's big when Jim Cornelison is out there singing the anthem. Did he do the New Zealand anthem, too?
I don't think so.
No, but they did the dance.
The haka.
The haka dance.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, going back years ago, a lot of the Australian rules football players asked the NFL Players Association for help in getting organized. Yeah. Because, again, it's same issues, same problems. And so, you know, we certainly did try to help them out.
I understand you had a view from the moon from where you were sitting, too.
Yes, right? We did. I appreciate how the fans' life. And it was fun to find out exactly where the name came from. And I was told this is a true story.
From the uniforms, right? They were all black.
No, it actually goes back to when they first came to, they played in England in 05 and brought a style of the game. They used the backs much more than the typical rugby scrum, which was a very plodding game. And the British press talked about the New Zealand, the All Backs, apparently, and this is a true story, it came from a Kiwi, so I know it has to be true. There was a typo. They put an L in black. Somebody thought, well, they must mean black, so it became the All Blacks, and they kept it. I got to two sources on that, so it also has to be true.
It looked like their offense was the equivalent of, a little bit like the run and shoot, because they, yeah. I mean, they have a great deal of speed. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fascinating to watch this whole thing.
Yeah.
I want to see some points scored at Soldier Field, so I went down.
Before we turn into rugby huddle here on Comcast Sports, let's get back to this Bears dilemma that they have. 3-5, and in the past 3 years, there have been four teams that have started 3-5, starting with the Tim Tebow-led Denver Broncos from a few years ago. Also, Washington has made it back in 2012. Cincinnati Bengals did that same year, and Philadelphia last year, which blew out the Bears on their way to making that. Bears haven't done it since 1979. This man quite familiar with that, but you're thinking that was a little easier road, with all due respect, back then than what the Bears might be facing this time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of different situations that this Bears team is facing. You guys face two playoff teams. This team has a couple more on the schedule than that. And a disturbing little thing I found when I went looking was that the Bears under Mark Trestman lost all three times they played the Packers, Lions, and Vikings the second time last year. And their point production went down quite a bit. So, it gets back to have teams gotten onto the Bears, which you certainly hope they haven't. So it makes it a harder road to go. And they also play the New Orleans Saints and the Dallas Cowboys, both of whom they saw last year. So, again, if there's something to that, it's a bunch of teams, a bunch of opponents who are familiar with that.
You know, John, the teams can lock in on your offense. They can study your whole playbook. Heck, you can even give them your playbook and let them take a peek at it before a game. But if you go out and you execute the way that you're supposed to execute, it doesn't make any difference. And that's why when you talk about what you do and how important all that is, it's important to establish an identity. If it's going to be lining up and knocking the people off the football, then do that. And figure out what you're going to do and what you do well and go do it. Don't, be bouncing around from here to there. Figure it all out, man, before you walk out between the stripes and let your boys know this is what we want to have happen.
And what you want to get an identity. I mean, you don't want to have the situation of John McKay. Maybe somebody asks Mark Trestman, how do you feel about your offense's execution? And he says, I'm in favor of it. You don't want it to come to that.
No,
this is a much better team than that. I've been floored by the way this season has gone. I thought this is quite a good team. Some odd things have happened. I think they're better.
Was there any overestimation, you think, because of the success that the offense experienced last year? And again, I would say keep in mind there are two quarterbacks last season that were responsible in large part for the success of this football team. But was there some overestimation?
Well, it looks like that now, Danny, but I think that's you look back and your reasons for, I thought they'd be 11-5, to be real honest with you. They could run up 8 in a row, then I would look like a prophet. Mm-hmm. But, the offense is this good, and it's in its first year. It's going to get better. Reasonable assumption.
Right.
Or certainly not going to regress.
I thought that was a given.
Right, and the defense if they play the, you know, the 13 season over again without all those injuries, that's not an 8-8 team. So to me, who they brought in, again, Jared Allen, Jeremiah Ratliff, these guys may not be at their peak, but they've got young guys behind them. So I looked at this roster and said they've got some win-now guys and they've got some guys behind them. This team is going to improve, and it's been surprising that they haven't.
And until they disprove this, you know, trend that they've run into in terms of teams seeing them the second and third time having the upper hand. You know, we've heard, and you and I were talking about it walking in from the parking lot today, that Mark Trestman has a set amount of plays. Mm-hmm. He provides different looks for them, but they're largely the set amount of plays. And, you know, until they hit the... I'm kind of curious to see whether we see some new wrinkles here, both offensively and defensively on Sunday
night.
The
only thing about that, and Dan, to your point, too, in general... You don't want to change what you do because now you're trying to excel at something maybe you're not as good at. You know, it sounds like, well, we should make a few changes. Yeah, again, it'll throw the All Blacks in there. It was basic. They just executed everything. I felt like I was watching a chorus line, like Newt Rockne watching the Rockettes and coming up with an idea here. You know, if you do it...
You're watching the rugby team and you thought you were watching a chorus line.
They did.
Okay, John.
Yeah. Well, they have great-looking legs, by the way. No, but I think that is they have to be who they are.
Right.
You don't want to get outside of your game because now you're trying to excel at something you're less good at and you're going into the other guys and he's playing to his strength.
That's exactly right, and that's why... That's why I say, though, you know, you look at identity and what it's all about and the consistency of having the same offensive line, same guys lining up, and sometimes you can't do that. Mm-hmm. This year is an example, and clearly one of the things that we're talking about with this game is who's going to be playing where.
Yeah.
And Ola, will he be playing the guard or will he be jumping in the tackle maybe and will Miller jump over the guard? My thinking is they just wanted Miller to get some work there just in case, but they want to put Ola over there because they only want one guy. Jump around and moving around.
Probably. If you sort of was a Where's Waldo approach to things today. Oh, and Brian Dale, let's throw him into the equation.
So, right, and you know Peppers, Matthews, they're going to be stunting in different times, and whether you want to throw a guy in a fresh position there is some food for thought, too. All right, so what do you try this time against Aaron Rodgers to try and slow him down? I know Jiggs has a certain thought about, you know, getting these in the receivers' faces at the line of scrimmage and causing some disruption.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, Dan. Again, everything... You know, defensive schemes are like diets. They all work if you execute them perfectly. Some better than others. Well, same. It's theoretical here for me. You do have to do something to disrupt a really good offense like Aaron Rodgers and those guys. Pressuring him doesn't always work. I mean, they're 27th in the league in sack percentage.
And best against the blitz in passer rating in the NFL.
Exactly. I mean, so Aaron Rodgers had traditions. I think the year they went to the Super Bowl or right around there, he was one of the most sacked guys in the league. So he doesn't always, you have to pressure him. You have to maybe get the timing of his receivers off. And then becoming, you know, as you said, Danny, with four men, because if you start over committing to the blitz, now you don't have enough DBs and he's going to find somebody open.
All right. We'll let Moon get back to the rugby tape here. But thanks for the insight on that. That was fun. I wish I was kind of jealous. It wasn't there the other night.
A lot of fun.